Right, our agenda is there. We skipped last week mainly because everyone was so busy, but we've got a number of things to kind of come up to speed on this week. Let's see, there on the agenda today we have an update on the Open Badges 1.1 release, the Groningen Declaration meeting that's happening in Europe right now. The web app sec, web application security, credentials API update. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation released the Level 1 project, which we've been interacting with them a bit on. So that has a that touches the credentials stuff a bit. We need to the credential CG, sorry, the credentials working group charter is going to be discussed in New York City. That is definitely on the agenda now, which is great. So we should give an update on that, and then next steps. So selecting a new chair for the group to lead us into the working group work, as well as figuring out what our priorities should be for the next couple of weeks to ensure that we set the group up for success once the working group is set up. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? And Richard, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself to the group at the beginning once we get started.
Okay. Was that now or later?
Hold on 1 second. So any updates to the agenda? Anybody else want anything else on the agenda? Okay. First up topic, intro to Richard Varn. Richard, take it away.
Okay. Richard Varn, I'm a distinguished presidential appointee, long title, a lot of work. I do a lot of new product development, and I'm leading the credentials initiative for ETS here now, an educational testing service. We do about 50 million tests a year, and I've been with this company on the board for 10 years and with them as an employee for 4. Past life, I've been a legislator, a chief information officer for a state, a city, and federal projects in a university, and have worked in my own consulting practice for a variety of people over the years on a number of different standards-related and IT development projects for, I don't know, 35 years or so. Work a lot on the intersection of policy, law, technology, and its application in education, government, and other places, and worked a lot on identity security over the years. So this is and credentials to trying to break apart the way the education system counts things. So this is a long-standing interest of mine. How about that? Is that enough?
Fantastic. Thank you, Richard. So as the rest of you on the call know, we've been searching for someone to chair the credentials working group work once it gets started from Educational Testing Service. We are very, very lucky to have Richard throw his hat in the ring. So I'm hoping that, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to bring Richard up to speed with where we are in the group. He's been tracking us offline and just kind of get him prepped so that when the credentials working group is set up, he can assume chairing that group along with the other co-chair that we're looking for. Let's see. So, yes, thank you very much for joining us, Richard. As you heard, he has a very, very impressive list of credentials on around identity and credentialing in the education space. Okay, let's see. An introduction to the other folks on the call today. Before we do that, who just joined the call? 609 area code.
Yep, Laura Fowler.
Hey, Laura. 17. Richard, the other person on the call that you're going to be working with, at least in an administrative capacity, is most likely Greg Kellogg. Hopefully Greg is still interested in being involved in this work from a W3C staff contact, W3C fellow perspective. We're currently trying to find funding to make sure that he is well funded to support in this work. We've got Nate Otto from the Badge Alliance and Open Badge Initiative, also of Concentric Sky. We've got Brian Sletten, who is a longtime linked data expert, as well as REST, and he speaks to thousands upon thousands of developers a year about linked data and the web, and as well as you know, the folks from Digital Bazaar that you know. Let's see, and I take it that you know Laura, since she's from your organization. Okay, any questions on what I just said? Any questions for Richard? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and move on with the agenda. Nate, could you give us an update on the Open Badges 1.1 release? And I'll scribe for you.
Cool, thank you. Let me go grab a link here real quick.
Okay.
Okay, so here's a quick little rundown of what the 1.1 release is. Basically, we adapted Open Badges as they had stood to be a linked data format in JSON-LD without losing backwards compatibility for 1.0. Now that that process is done and the 1.1 spec is finalized, people can start issuing Open Badges as linked data credentials. In the future, as this group's work moves forward, the Badge Alliance is going to continue collaborating closely and hopes to work on a 2.0 version for badges that may have some breaking changes, particularly in order to bring the Open Badges spec closer in alignment with linked data best practices and sort of advisable, easy things, good patterns of working with it. And we've had some good prototyping work contributed by members of this group that will probably come under discussion at the Badge Alliance in the coming weeks and months. We're sort of just doing some long-range planning right now about like what important features are we finding among different stakeholders in the badging space. And in the meantime, we're excited to get started with issuing linked data badges with the 1.1 spec. Did anybody have any questions on what linked data means for badges or just about open badges in general?
I have a few specific questions, Nate, but I'll open the floor up to general questions from other folks.
I was just curious if you've had any feedback yet from announcing these changes, if the community has any interest or concerns or anything about this.
Sure. So the process of moving to 1.1 was a long one. We started really investigating it about early June or earlier last year, and have been talking to many different issuer platforms and users and foundations, funders, just about like what they needed, as well as talking to the linked data experts who we've met through this this work. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback so far. Not very much since Friday when we released it as far as actual implementation, but I'm hoping that lots of developers who are involved will come out of the woodwork, start working with it, building it into their platforms. My company, Concentric Sky, I'm a developer there, I don't own it, is going to be releasing an issuing platform that will use the 1.1 linked data spec and will understand and validate the linked data features of badges. And so hopefully we're going to be releasing that open source. Hopefully that'll be a good reference implementation for folks. And a lot of the folks, Carrie, who's on the call now, and me, are available in the community for folks who do want to approach us to ask questions or share any concerns. Did you have anything specific that you wondered about?
No, I speak to developers about this stuff all the time, so I'm just interested when a new community is introduced to the ideas, how they receive them. So this is now public?
Now public, now able to be issued, and we're working with the various organizations that are running different badge services, including Mozilla, which runs sort of the most important badge storage service, the Open Badges Backpack, as well as they have a validator that's really important to the ecosystem that a lot of issuers use. We're talking with them, and they've pledged to update it to 1.1 in the very near future, as well as several other issuing platforms. I'll keep reporting back if as more folks learn about what linked data means for badges. And then, particularly, I'm hoping to show off the cool new features that linked data allows with our own product.
Cool. Thank you.
Nate, I've got two questions. Let's see. I noticed that the link to the context is HTTP instead of HTTPS. It should probably be HTTPS. Is there any particular reason you did HTTP?
I guess I don't really understand the consequences of this. I suppose probably this is up for discussion and could be changed. Could you explain real quick?
The issue is with, if you put anything over HTTP, there's a chance that you can have a man-in-the-middle attack that can change what some of the meaning of the badge is, which means that you could inject different meaning into the badge. So specifically in, let's talk about payments. This is the easiest way I know to explain it. When you send a payment, you've got a source and destination account. If you serve the JSON-LD context over HTTP, it allows somebody to inject their own meaning into that, meaning that they can switch source and destination. So instead of you sending someone else money, if the source and destination's flipped, you're actually pulling money from their account without their authorization. So that's just an example of one type of attack you could do if you serve this stuff over HTTP. I don't think Open Badges has those types of attacks, but we really haven't done a threat analysis on it, and I would feel much safer if you just told people to use HTTPS to just avoid having to think about it and do a threat analysis until we've done the threat analysis to know that there really isn't a danger in doing this.
I thought you said some other acronym that I had never even heard of. Yeah, the docs should be updated. We finally got our SSL certificate late last week, so just in time for the release. So we will be updating all the docs to recommend and really, very strongly recommend people use Secure Connection.
Okay, good. That's the only technical thing I saw in the update. The other question was, is the W3ID org redirect working, and is the context in the form? Is it in the form that you wanted to be in? Are there any problems with the changeover that we did last week or the week before?
I have tested several things and have not discovered any problems. CORS is active, so it will work in JavaScript applications like the JSONLD.org playground. So I was in the playground pretty extensively on Thursday and Friday testing everything out, and seems to be working pretty well. And Dave Longley was helpful in ironing out a couple sort of last-minute quirks.
Okay, let us know if something funky happens, and we'll jump on it and fix it. But it looks like all the systems are operating. Which is great because, now we've got these shared systems that, the only thing that they really have in common is the Open Badges context, and both the systems seem to be operating well, or both classes of systems seem to be operating well. So that's a win for linked data. Yay. okay. Anything else on the Open Badges 1.1 release? Anything else before we move on?
Nothing for me. I see Carrie joined the call. Carrie, did you happen to have any comments?
Hey there. Nope, I don't have anything to add. Nice work. I'm really excited this is out. So thanks for all of your support and help with the JSON-LD work. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And congratulations again. That's great work. Nate and Carrie and Sunny, who is somewhere else in the world now. It's fantastic. Excited to see this release.
Great, thank you.
All right. Next topic up is the Groningen Declaration meeting. I always have a hard time saying that word. Let's see. Nate, can you take back over scribing?
Yes.
Thanks. Right now is the Groningen Declaration meeting. This is the EU's initiative to do portable credentials. Sunny is there from representing Badge Alliance. Eric is there representing AccreditTrust. I think both of them were pretty much representing the credential CG work as well, talking about how that work can be used for what they want. I mean, the Groningen Declaration, they're doing the same, pretty much almost exactly the same thing that we're trying to do, at least in the education space. We, as in the credential CG, is trying to do in the education space. So it's a large network of specifically of IT folks in universities that figure out, whether or not what systems get deployed, right? And so what we're trying to do is convince them that they should be implementing open standards and open systems so that we have true credential portability in those education systems. Other than that, I really don't know much else that's going on in the meeting. I'm sure we'll get a rundown of the meeting from Sunny and Eric when they get back next week. Anybody else want to add anything else to the Groningen Declaration meeting? Okay, there's nothing there. Quick update on the web application security credentials. I guess it's credential management API. So WebAppSec. This is the group at W3C that deals with web application security. They published something that they were calling a credential management API. What it really is a password manager. It's not really a credential management API in the sense that we mean. What we mean by credentials is different from what they mean slightly. They were doing their first public working draft. We objected to publication of it in its current form without them mentioning the credentials work that we're working on. We had a discussion with the editor of their specification and the chairs of that group to make sure that they at least put in references to our work. They did that, and so we stepped out of the way as far as publication is concerned. What we're trying to do with that work is to tie the ability to store and transmit credentials in their API. And the reason that's important is because the editor of the spec is on the Google Chrome team, and the chair of the specification, the chair of the group, one of the chairs of the group, works for Mozilla, and Mozilla is going to put it into Firefox as well. So if we need to do this work at some point, like this group is going to need this API at some point, so we're trying to fast track integration of the credential stuff through that other group, because they already have the browser vendors at the table. We don't have that in this group yet. And if we're able to get them to extend their API in a fairly trivial way, it means that the ability to store and transmit credentials will become a part of core browsers. So if we get Google and Mozilla's Firefox on board, I think that's at least 750 million to 1.5 billion people that will get access to it immediately. And they will get access to that API in the next year. That's the rollout. So that is 3 years before we thought it was going to happen, which is great. But that means that we have quite a bit of negotiation to do with the web application security group. Right. So Dave Longley and I need to sit down and design the API as a proposal to them. They they are willing to listen. We don't know how much they're willing to change the API yet. I know that Mike felt that he made the changes that he thought were necessary. We don't think he went far enough. The biggest issue with the biggest issue with the credential management API that they have right now is that there is this belief that cross-origin credentials is not a design goal for the spec they're working on, meaning the only credentials that matter are the ones that the website issues to you. Like, so for example, if you're on Amazon, the credentials that Amazon issues to you can be stored in the browser, and that's the only place that those credentials can be used is on Amazon.com. You couldn't have Amazon.com issue a credential to you and then you use that credential on a different website. Clearly, with the education credentials that we're talking about, this stuff has to be portable. We need what's called a cross-origin credential. So right now, the Credentials Management API and Web Application Security, they're focusing on same-origin credentials. So Amazon gives you the credential and you can only use it on Amazon. This group, the Credential CG, is interested in cross-origin credentials. So you get a credential from MIT or Harvard, and you can use that credential when you apply for a job or you apply for grad school or something along those lines. Okay, so that's the philosophical issue that we hit when we were negotiating extension of the API. And because that philosophical distinction has been rejected, the likelihood that they're going to want to extend the API further is unlikely until we get W3C bought into this idea that they really should be supporting cross-origin credentials as well. So we're having a discussion with W3C management to put this up as a discussion topic at W3C TPAC and hopefully before that. Okay, so that's the fundamental issue that's keeping us from making progress right now. And it's we're going to have that discussion with WebAppSec at some point. Okay, so let me stop there. Are there any questions on the Web Application Security Credential Management API or the philosophical disagreements we're having with that group right now?
Hey, Mario. Hey, this is Nate. I have maybe a quick technical clarification on some of the emails that were flying around. When in how you and Dave are imagining a cross-origin API, when a website that a user is visiting requests a generic credential type, like say, hey, show me your college degree. And then the user assents to, okay, let me send the college degree over from the University of Oregon, and makes a request to that maybe an external credential service like, you know, mycredentialsstoragevault.com. Does mycredentialsstoragevault.com transmit the stored credential directly to the website I'm trying to visit, or does it transmit it to me as the browser user for me to transmit it to the website that wants it?
It transmits it via the browser because we don't want your credential vault tracking everyone that you're giving credentials to. So to put that in more concrete terms, let's say that you have does credential transmit directly to website. So if the credential vault knew who you were sending the credential to, it could start tracking your behavior, and that is not it could start tracking.
Oops, I lost audio. Can you still hear?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can folks hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, so unfortunately, Nate, let's see.
Okay, I'm
Nate,
back.
You're back, okay. We don't want people to be tracked online. By default, the credential should be privacy enhancing. So the credential is handed back to the browser, and then the browser then provides it to the website that requested it. This is important because if you have, let's say, a rare medical condition, or let's say you have something that is socially not accepted for any reason, we want you to be in charge of that information, and we don't want any other organization to be able to track that is not you. So the browser is always viewed as the trustworthy intermediary. So hopefully did that answer your question, Nate? Okay.
Yeah, my question's answered. Thanks.
Okay.
But if someone else could take over scribing for a minute, because it seems my audio is kind of spotty. I'm going to do my best to resolve that.
Okay. Brian, would you mind scribing temporarily?
Nope, just give me 1 second.
Any other questions on Web AppSec Credentials API? If not, we're going to move on to the Bill and Melinda Gates thing. Thank you, Brian. Okay, so Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation just announced something that we've been working with them off and on for a while now. This is called the Level 1 Project. It is an attempt to extend financial services to the 2.5 billion people in the world that currently don't have access to financial infrastructure of any kind. That means access to savings accounts, checking accounts, credit, those sorts of things. The reason that this is of interest to this group is that the Gates Foundation has said that credentialing is a big issue for extending financial services to the poor, meaning that they need a tiered, multi-level, what's called Know Your Customer credentials. Whenever a bank onboards a new customer, they're required to go through a clearing process called Know Your Customer, where they basically have to see your face and they have to see a government-issued ID, one or more government-issued IDs, and get you to sign pieces of paper and all that kind of stuff. The problem is that assumes that there's a banking branch that the customer can walk into, and in many of these developing nations, that does not exist, and it is never going to exist because these 2.5 billion people are not profitable for the banks. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in order to try and address this very real need in the developing world, you know, access to the ability to save for the future of your family so that you can, you know, save up for education or healthcare farming resources, a variety of things. Basically, the ability to save so that your family can weather shocks. That doesn't exist today, and it's not going to exist unless they take a very different approach to it. They've spent tens of millions of dollars trying to get banking infrastructure up to date in these countries, and they've had really bad results. As we know, this credentialing group kind of sprang out of the web payments group at W3C, the community group. The payments group, the official group at W3C now, needs some kind of credentialing solution, and so the credentialing stuff ties into that fairly well. While I was at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation chatting with them about this project, the meeting that I had with them, I had to do, and this was with a number of other really big players in the open source community. So, you know, you had the people that created the Zen hypervisor for Amazon and the people that created OpenStack and the head of Google Summer of Code and the head of the LibreOffice, OpenOffice project, along with a number of central banks around the world. They were looking for open source solutions. Specifically, they were looking for open source solutions to address this need. So there's also quite a bit of overlap with the education initiatives at Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The education initiatives want to be able to credential folks when they go to school so that they have a set of credentials associated with them. the piece of technology that enables all of this to happen is a mobile phone. They're finding out that in many of these developing nations, they don't have clean water, they don't have roads, they don't have access to financial infrastructure, but what they do have is the most advanced mobile smartphones that we have here in developed world. So the idea is to try and make this happen, make the credentialing and the financial services happen through the mobile phone. So this group kind of cares about this because the way that a lot of these credentials are going to be issued are through the mobile phone resellers, which is a fancy way of saying this is the shack that exists in a market. You know, the shack's got a tin roof, it's got one person behind it, but that person can take a thumbprint of the person, take a photo of the person, and do the first level of, you know your customer onboarding at that location. So the credential stuff is important to the work that they're doing. Any questions on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation stuff for the Level 1 project?
Just kind of what's the status? I mean, they're interested in the standards, they're interested in the implementations.
All of the above. So the status is they just launched it. So it's been in stealth mode for a while now. And, you know, they brought us in as a sanity check at the very end to see if the plan was good. After they had a meeting with us, they pitched it to Bill Gates, and he said yes to the project. So the project is now underway, which means that it is in the process of being funded. They're probably going to set up a new foundation to focus on the open source technology aspects of it. We are connected with all of the leaders in the group now. So Costa Peric is his idea, his baby. And for those of you that don't know who Costa is, he created the SWIFT network. The SWIFT network is the financial network that clears trillions of dollars of money a month around the world. So that he was the chief architect of that system. And so he's trying to solve a different type of payment routing problem now. It's a really smart team. They're good folks. We are currently trying to work with them to figure out how to get W3C and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to work more closely together. There's also the Faster Payments Task Force that the U.S. Federal Reserve is doing. They also care very much about credentials. Their credentialing needs are the same as the Gates Foundation, and they're very much aligned with the work that we're doing here. So we're trying to get U.S. Fed's Faster Payments Task Force, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, W3C, to work together on this stuff. And that collaboration will definitely impact the work that we're doing here. It's going to impact the use cases that we're doing. It's going to impact some of the technical requirements. And it's definitely going to impact the technology that we have to create in version one of the credential stuff that we're working on. Did that answer your question, Brian?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. All right, any other questions on the Gates Foundation or Fed Faster Payment Task Force collaboration? Okay, next up is the Credentials Working Group Charter on we've been negotiating a place for the Credentials Working Group Charter. So as we created a charter in this group, a proposed charter for the W3C to create a credentials, official credentials working group. It is now on the agenda. I think we have around 2 hours of discussion on the first day of the web payments face-to-face. That's happening in New York City next month, June 16th. That is a W3C member only event. There is a possibility for non-W3C members to attend on the final day. but that they're already book solid. So the only way you'd get in is if you're a very large new member that that is effectively committing to joining W3C for the payments or the credentials work. This meeting is important because the group that is going to go to bat for us, the official group that is going to suggest that we need a credentials working group, is going to be the web payments group. It's on their agenda so that everyone can look at the charter and agree to the charter. The charter is what we proposed, so this group put together a charter. So make sure that you take a look at that charter. Let me get the link to that charter to make sure. Web. Let's see, credentials charter. So here's that charter, credentials working group charter. Make sure that you take a very careful look at that charter because that's what's going up in front of the membership in June. They'll you know, hack at it a bit and ask us for feedback. And then once we approve it, it's going to go up for a W3C membership vote, which means that you've got 400 organizations at W3C that we have to effectively go and whip votes from to get it approved. The minimum is we have to get 5% of W3C organizations to approve it, but clearly we want closer to 15 to 20% of W3C membership. We also need to make sure that we are almost done with the recruiting. So this recruiting will happen in June, July, and August to make sure that W3C knows that they're going to get new members out of this. Okay, any questions on the working group charter or what's going to happen at the web payments meeting in New York City?
You have that as 2 days on the agenda you sent me, or the dates to set aside. Do you know, well, when will we know when this part of it is? If you want me to go there?
We let's see. Hopefully by the end of this month, we'll know.
Okay.
Hopefully
soon. So I should just block both days for now.
Yeah, unfortunately, block both days. I would imagine that it's going to be on the first day. Because the agenda notes are in order of things that people want to hit. So the review of draft working group charters is in part one. So I would imagine it to be in the early part of the 16th, so around 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But they may, you know, they may reorganize this entire thing in the next week or two.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions on the working group charter? Greg, I think we're going to try and – well, I don't actually, you know what? I don't think we're going to try and get you out there for this one just because it's only going to be 1 or 2 hours. But I think, you know, via the Open Payments Foundation – let me back up. The New York City face-to-face is going to happen, and the draft charter is going to go up. Be refined. Then it's going to go up for a vote in September, and the W3C TPAC is in October. So we have to, if the charter is approved, we have to have one, two, or three telecons before the face-to-face in Sapporo, Japan, in October. We are hoping to have the Open Payments Foundation set up and funded so that we can pay for airfare for you, Greg, for you to participate. I don't know if that works into your schedule or not.
Well, my schedule for that time of year is pretty open right now.
Okay.
So, but certainly I'd be happy to go to that. For that matter, if it made sense for me to be on a audio link for the face-to-face, I'd be happy to make some time for that as well.
Okay. I don't know if they're going to have audio set up. We'll see. It's at Bloomberg headquarters. They have all kinds of fancy gadgets, so we may have video and audio or just audio. We'll see. We'll let you know when that comes up. Okay. Anything else on the working group charter, or kind of what the sequence of operations are to get us to an official working group? I'll add one last thing. The working group, the assumption behind the creation of the working group is that we have enough organizations saying that they're going to participate in the work. We do have a number of organizations, like the number of people that have been showing up to this telecon is enough to actually have a working group, an active working group, meaning that all you really need is about 9 or 10 people in the group doing work and participating. So we have that in this group. But the issue is that we need a much larger group of organizations that are going to commit to becoming W3C members and joining the official group. And these are organizations that we don't have participating in the calls on a week-to-week basis. So we have a lot of recruiting work to do between now and September if we're going to convince W3C that they should jump directly into a working group. They still might say that, no, we don't want a working group. We just want an interest group in the beginning to set out the, you know, vision and architecture and use cases and stuff like that. So we have to effectively get these documents prepped, the, you know, use cases and executive summary and those, you know, vision documents prepped so that when we go out to recruit these organizations that are going to join W3C, when we go to recruit W3C membership, that they will be aligned with what we want to happen. If for whatever reason a larger organization like, let's say, Microsoft or Google jumps in and says, no, actually, we were thinking something different for credentials, that's going to throw a big wrench in the works. And unfortunately, we're just not going to know if that's going to happen until we have those discussions with them. So that's one thing that could derail the work at this point is this, you know, is a disagreement on exactly what we're trying to create. Okay. Let's see. Anything else on the charter stuff? Okay. Next steps. As I said when we started this group, I did not intend to be chair for as long as I've been not running the calls for as long as has happened. We need people to jump in from larger organizations to chair the work. Richard has thankfully said that he's interested in doing that. We have a charter in this group, and we have a standard election cycle. So I think, you know, effectively that process is we call for elections. The current, you know, person running the group, which would be me, steps down, and then we call for people to put their kind of their hats into the ring on whether or not they want to become chairs or staff contacts, and then the group ends up having a vote on it and electing that person. So hopefully, once you know, hearing Richard's background and credentials in the space, he'd be a fantastic person to lead the work, and he's interested in doing it, which is also very important. So we still need to find another co-chair. We're currently reaching out to Pearson to see if they're interested in putting someone forward. If anyone else knows of anyone else that would like to chair the official work, definitely please let us know.
Is Peter Janzow, is he your contact? Is that the person you're talking to at Pearson?
No, in fact, I'm trying to chase down W3C to give me a contact, so no, I haven't.
Well, here's some information. The guy that showed up at the badging conference is named Peter Janzow, J-A-N-Z-O-W. He is the Open Badges lead for the company on the Acclaim Enterprise Open Badges platform.
Yep. Also, just to be clear, just because this group elects a set of chairs is no guarantee that W3C is going to select the same chairs, but I have never heard it go a different way, unless they find an absolute rock star chair. But, you know, they don't step in and make those recommendations unless they have a lot of history in the area, like, for example, with the HTML specifications. Okay. So next up is the priorities for the next few weeks. I think that we need to get the use cases document into better shape. The executive summary is in pretty good shape. If folks could take a look at the executive summary and make sure that, you know, that's the thing we want to circulate to folks so that they'll join. The web payments group has done something that they're calling a vision document. So what's the kind of the technical vision for the group? I don't know if we really need that yet, unless it becomes clear that our executive summary is not helping us recruit people at a fast clip. So really, I think that the use cases is the document where we need the most amount of work right now. We also need to create the questionnaire, the support questionnaire, so that we can ask organizations to look at the executive summary and then tell us whether or not they're going to join W3C or vote in favor of the work. So that's the data that we need to take to W3C management to make sure that they're comfortable with proposing this to the membership. Okay. Are there any other work items that folks can think of right now that we need to get done in the next month?
No, just you and Sunny and Nate and I think we're going to try to come up with some way of parallelizing the work on the use case, and that meeting never happened. And
Right. Okay, so Sunny's gone this week. Do you want to try and meet to do that this week, or do you want to wait until next week?
I'm fine either way. If we want to wait for her,
I'd feel better waiting for Sunny on that, yeah. Because you know, she and Nate and Carrie were working on the document before. So,
anytime after Tuesday next week, I'm fine.
Okay.
And Carrie just said she can join as well. So.
Yep. Okay, great. You know, why don't we just put that on the agenda next week? Oh, you said after Tuesday, right?
After Tuesday, yeah. Yes.
Well, how about we put it on the agenda? You and I can kind of touch base on it, and then
okay.
I can take that to the group next week. So maybe let's all take a pass through the use cases document this week. And then come up with some ideas on parallelizing it, and then maybe have a discussion about it next week, and then, you know, really dig into the work and get that document in better shape.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else that we should be working on for the next week or the next month? Okay. All right. I think that's it for the call today. Any other business that folks wanted to discuss? All right. Thanks, everyone, for the call this week. That's it for the call today. We'll meet again same bat time, same bat channel next week. Thanks. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.
Thanks, Manu. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.